You're listening to WFYI HD2, The Point.
What do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
Oh, what do you feel like doing tonight?
I don't know, Ange. What do you feel like doing?
We're back to that, huh? I say to you, what do you feel like doing tonight? And you say back to me, I don't know, what do you feel like doing tonight? Then we wind up sitting around your house with a couple of cans of beer watching a hit parade on television.
Let's go to movies.
Director!
This is a frightened city.
Wait for it! Director! Cut!
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for a new film talk show, Film Sociology, with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sosie!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Show is also available as a podcast if you go to WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Busy day here at WFYI Studios. Last day of pledge drive. As soon as the show is over, I will be hauling tail up to Geist, the Mud Creek Players, for the opening night of Three Musketeers, directed by yours truly. Sitting in studio with me this evening, a man who, well, I've had Academy Award-winning actors and auteur directors easier to get on than this guy, actor Robert Neal. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me, Matt.
Thanks.
Glad I could finally make it.
Glad to have you here. Yeah. I know, better late than never. Yeah, so it's a busy week. Pledge drive, so I've been pitching by day and directing at night. And there's a couple of events that are coming up. If you don't have any plans tonight, and it's okay if you don't, it happens, at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin this evening. And this is, actually, we could start off this way if you'd like. But they're showing Breaking Away.
Oh, I love that movie.
Now, you grew up here?
Oh, yeah, in Indiana. I went to IU. And, in fact, they filmed that not too long before I went to IU. And so whenever I watched that movie, it looks like what it looked like when I was in school. In fact, I can see my two sisters in the crowd scene at when they're shooting the race. They went and watched them shoot.
Really?
Yeah. It's fun.
They didn't hurl themselves at Dennis Quaid?
No. But some of my fraternity brothers were in that. They rode in the race. So it's really fun to watch and see. They're all still young, you know.
That's cool.
Film. Yeah. Great movie. I love that movie.
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun. Lots of fun indeed. And I know also tonight, This could be, if you don't go see Three Musketeers, and you know, well, there'll be three weekends for that. But at the Indianapolis Museum of Art at 7 o'clock at the Toby Theater, a film featuring, and he'll be making a personal appearance, Crispin Glover.
Oh God!
Who's doing the film? It Is Fine, Everything Is Fine, and according to the Friday section of the Non Nouveau, a middle-aged man with cerebral palsy has psychosexual fantasies and fetishes.
What's his name again?
Crispin Glover.
Yeah, I remember years ago when he tried to kick David Letterman.
Letterman in the face, yes.
I saw that when it actually happened.
He's going to be here at the IMA.
Be careful.
Your IMA money at work.
Yeah.
Say hi to Ann Laker for me. Okay, now, so the question is, are we talking about the Jennifer Lopez film? No, I'm afraid not. Are we talking about The Losers? No. Insert favorite political party joke here. No. Opening theaters today is a thriller, a dramatic thriller from Sweden called The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. No, it's not a Hong Kong action film, but it's based on a series of three books, which were made in the films and were huge in Sweden. And according to rumor, is that they are going to be remade here in the United States. And of course, when that information happens, I tend to, you know, verp a little bit in my throat because I don't mind reading subtitles, and you shouldn't either. But I don't believe any rumors until I see a poster or a trailer.
Okay.
because it, and because I had two basement dwelling friends who almost came to fisticuffs because one was convinced that Kenneth Branagh was going to play young Obi-Wan in episode one, one of those sort of things. Anyway, but the I'll the one sole exception of this case is the rumor is that the director is supposed to do the American version is David Fincher, man who gave us Seven, Zodiac, Fight Club. Interesting choice with that as a director. So we'll see. Anyway, but here is the American trailer for the Swedish film Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Her journey has become an international sensation. Her secrets have captivated millions. Her story is a literary and movie phenomenon. This year, meet the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Now, normally, I play you trailers like that for a reason. For instance, I remember playing the trailer for Transformers, and there was no dialogue. It was just noise and loud rock. And I guess in this case, it's the same thing with a Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. A lot of imagery, a lot of very cool imagery from the filmmaker. It's a story of a disgraced journalist who has a bit of time before he's supposed to go to jail for libel. And he is hired by a very rich and very eccentric family to investigate an old murder that happened 40 years ago in their family. Huh. And he comes across a 20-something female computer hacker played by Noomi Rapace. I hope pardon my Scandinavian. Mm. And she winds up helping the reporter, and they wind up basically uncovering an old 40-year-old serial killer case.
Oh my.
That involves, may or may not involve the family, may or may not involve a certain party from back in the 40s. Not in Scandinavia, no. So, the dynamics of these two, and you know, it's a man and a woman, so you know eventually that storyline is going to happen, although it's not the most traditional sense of the word. But the Rapace character is very fascinating. She's got her own baggage. We were talking off air. I'll just say baggage of a Lovely Bones level.
Oh, right.
She's 25 and inherited the family riches, but is under the thumb of a very creepy man. And there's two, three very disturbing scenes, but very effective. So, but I think of this film, and it's now getting a wider release. And a couple of weeks ago, I talked about the French film A Prophet, the French prison drama, which was up for Best Foreign Film. And what I said then, and I say now, I think, unfortunately, the thing that's getting in the way of this film with a big audience are those little words that you have to read at the bottom of the screen, even though you should. You're be a grown-up and grow a pair.
Right. Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with subtitles, and it still stuns
me.
Yes, it still stuns me today that folks won't. I know you don't want to read, but
it's like, to me, it's like when you go to the theater and to see a Shakespeare play. It takes you a few minutes to get used to listening. I went. We were talking about Das Weiße Bein, which is a great German film, and even there, you know, it took me a few minutes to get used to reading that. And you know, at first I was like, oh, I can't see the image, but then I just got totally used to it, and it was fine. I was totally drawn into the story. So
that's
people should get over that.
I really hope so. And of course, if you're listening to WFYI, you probably have.
That's right.
So find your friends.
Preach you
and,
to the choir.
And cuff them in the back of the head. and it's, make sure it's the same people that don't take their kids to go see Kick-Ass from last week. But so anyway, really good imagery. And it's not the total bleak, you know, Bergman-esque black and white Scandinavia. There's
I love that though.
I love playing chess with death as much as the next person. Right. And Lee Volman, but and B.B. Anderson. But it does capture a fascinating mystery with an interesting unlikely pair. So and there's two more of these coming. So be on the lookout for A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. Hmm. Wait a minute. Let's try that again. My reaction.
Yes!
Indeed. Also in theaters, the fifth of the, I call it the fifth, as if it was a foot race, one of the five films that was up for best foreign, best animated feature, I'm sorry, The Secret of Kells, featuring the voices of Evan McGuire and Brendan Gleeson. So that's also in town. I don't want to talk about the backup plan because I didn't see it. So that's just kind of how it works. Also opening a City Island with Andy Garcia. So there's plenty out there. And now I know you – have you seen anything in theaters recently, Robert Neal?
The last thing, I saw a few things. Well, Das Weiße Band. I saw An Education, which I really loved.
As did I. I was actually happy that made the 10. And there was a part of me that wanted to pick it in the top five. Because I said, you know, what would be in your top five? Of course, I did anything but Avatar. But I think I put A Serious Man in just to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah, I saw A Serious Man. I like that movie a lot.
Love Serious Man.
I saw that on DVD, but An Education will be right up at the top of my list. So would Das Weiße Band.
A non-creepy older girl, younger guy.
Although it is a little bit creepy. Peter Skarsgård, that's his name.
Yeah,
right?
he's very good.
He's a really terrific actor, but it's a little creepy, you know, right from the beginning. In fact, I saw it by myself in the theater first, and then I made my wife watch it on DVD night.
How'd that work out for you?
It was terrific. Yeah.
She was okay?
She liked it.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
She liked it a lot. But, you know, I leaned over to her, like, right when he starts, you know, talking to her. I thought, oh, my God, she's 16 years old, you know. And
well, it didn't have a... I guess a Lolita sense. It didn't
little
seem
bit.
Maybe not as lecherous.
Right.
I think if this was made in the States, it'd really gave somebody.
It didn't creep me out that much until it got. Are there spoilers on the show? Or, I mean, do we care about that? Or
well, let me put it this way. I think this is how you know the other shoe's gonna fall.
Okay.
I guess when it comes to to that relationship.
Yeah. And you know, there's a on the DVD. There's extra scenes. You know, scenes that are cut at the
end. There's a new There's a different ending, right?
Yes.
And how is it?
Well, I'm really glad they didn't use that ending.
Okay.
Because should I say? Is it okay to say? Or
go for it.
Okay. Well, he shows up at where is it, Oxford, where she goes,
right,
and wants her back, and you learn that he's been in prison for like 90 other convictions or whatever.
That's a bit much,
and it was way too much, you know. And I thought, oh, I'm glad they didn't put that in the film. It's a great film. It's just a great movie. Alfred Molina as the dad is
love
so terrific.
Alfred Molina, and that was a guy who you don't act for awards, but I really thought he was going to finally get a nomination
because he was heartbreaking as the dad. Yeah.
Well, and it's so funny because he hasn't played an English guy in a while. He's one of those great that guys who's played
That's
everything.
Right.
Give
yeah.
me the idol. And but no, it was good seeing him. And I just saw him on Charlie Rose. He's doing a play in New York.
Yeah, called Red.
Yes,
by
Red.
John Logan.
That's right.
About Mark.
The artist.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Working on my 50s paintings.
Right. But it. I'm dying to read the play. It's a play I'd really love to do.
What do you think would come here?
I don't know.
Would you shave your head?
I would.
Of course you would.
I have nothing to lose already, but I have shaved my head before.
Yes.
And we'll do it again in
a
second. But anyway, I'm a big fan of Alfred Molina.
I am too. It's nice seeing. There was a fun piece on him. It was after right before Spider-Man 3 opened, and
mm-hmm.
he was quite good in that. But he was doing. Fiddler. He was doing Fiddler
That's
in New
right.
York.
That's
so
right.
he had this, you know, great beard, all right. bigger than mine. And
I heard he was terrific.
Yeah. Movie. So it kind of helps, especially those of us who talk on cue. I can't even do that. But he was talking about, you know, it's like he was being interviewed and he was walking through the streets of New York and he said, I'm enjoying this while I can because as soon as Spider-Man 3 opens, I'm not going to be able to do this much anymore.
Right.
So. But, yeah, it's nice when that the graduation is from that guy to actually knowing the character actor's name to either, you know, getting starring work or getting the awards and being at a new level.
Do you know the first thing I ever noticed him in, and I didn't know who he was Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, he was the throw me the idol guy, exactly. Which was, I think that was his first thing.
Might have been his first thing. And then he was in Prick Up Your Ears.
Prick Up Your Ears, I remember.
And I didn't know who he was then, but that's when I learned his name and thought, this guy is really great.
It was Prick Up Your Ears, and I don't think I saw him in anything for a while, and then there was the great... one scene wonder in Boogie Nights.
That's right. He was crazy drugged out guy. Yeah.
Well, we saw way more. Maybe Mrs. Molina wants to see that much of him, but yeah. Coked up and loving Night Ranger.
All right.
As you shouldn't be. So, all right. So we're gonna take a short break and we'll talk about what is new on DVD and maybe some old on DVD. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point. WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
No, that's not the one that won Best Song for the Academy Awards, but it's My Bloody Show. So it's,
I like that song.
It is.
Best,
it's Fallin' and Flyin'. Jeff Bridges from the soundtrack of Crazy Heart, because out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, the Academy Award winning film, and I'm glad to say that, Crazy Heart, The Dude Abides.
Also known as Tender Mercies.
It's Tender Mercies meets The Wrestler. We're like that. Right, so. Okay. And yeah, it probably didn't help matters, but it did that Robert Duvall had a nice small part in
the film. Well, he was a producer of it as well, so he must have had a vested interest in trying to retell that story in some way. But
well, perfect timing on this one.
Yeah.
I think this is... I don't use the star system so much because I actually want you to listen to my review. but, I mean, this is a solid 3.5-star film.
Yeah.
In which, you know, obviously the performance is better than the picture itself.
Right.
But I think it's also one of those 3.5-star films where it's, you could watch this anytime.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are great 4-star films, but, you know, you might need a lot of emotional, mental baggage. You know, like Schindler's List. Schindler's List, you can't, you know, it'd be a great film, but it's not something you can plop in. This Crazy Heart, when it comes on cable, you have to, I think, allot at least 20 to 30 minutes. And another example for that me is Gran Torino. Just another solid 3.5-star thing that's worth watching. So anyway, yes, Crazy Heart is on DVD. Jeff Bridges won an Oscar. Finally, the world can move on and be okay. yes, and he should be knighted for The Big Lebowski and given his weight in White Russians. That's okay. But for those who haven't seen it, and shame on you because, you know, it's all about opening weekend dollars. But he plays a burnt-out country singer still on the road and hooking up with a young music journalist played by Maggie Gyllenhaal. And guys, don't you wish all music journalists look like Maggie Gyllenhaal? Colin Farrell's in this as well as Robert Duvall, and great music by T-Bone Burnett, who also got an Oscar for writing and producing. I should say producing. It's Ryan Bingham who sang the title track. So hold, here we go.
Mr. Blake, I'm Gene Craddock from The Sun Scene. Tape recorder okay?
Go ahead, man.
What's your real name?
I'm Bad Blake. My tombstone will have my real name on it. Until then, I'm just gonna stay bad.
Your heart's on the loose. You rolled in sevens with nothing to lose.
Where'd all those songs come from?
Life, unfortunately.
Place for the weird kind.
I'm 57 years old. I'm broke.
Why don't you sit down and write some songs, huh?
Keep going.
You called all your shots.
I keep feeling obliged to apologize for being less than you probably imagined me to be.
Somehow this don't feel like home anymore.
We ought to go out and find some trouble to get into.
Yeah, big trouble.
And this ain't no place for the weary kind.
I knew what the risks were with you, and I took them.
This ain't no place.
It's one hell of a song.
This is going to be your best year in the last 7.
Never too late, son. Never too late.
Pick up the crazy heart and give it one more try.
To be home. One more try.
Okay. Now, before we move on, Robert Neal is here with me. Who's the artist that we couldn't think of?
Oh, his name is Mark Rothko. The play Red. It's playing in New York right now by John Logan that stars Alfred Molina.
So go, if you're in New York.
Yeah, go to New York and see it.
Yeah, go see it. So. Okay. Yes, you were referring to this film as Tender Mercies, which is a wonderful film in its own
right. It's
one
of my favorite films. It's a great film because I love Horton Foote to begin with.
Horton Foote is writing God. God
he
bless
is a writing
his soul.
God.
Amazing.
And it's just so truthful and moving. And it's really the same story. I mean, you've got a down-and-out country singer with a drinking problem who meets this woman.
Angelic.
Who has a small child, a son, and he has a baggage from an older son that he has no relationship, and he's trying to, you know, get his life back together. And it's exactly
the young
same
daughter,
movie.
I should say. Remember?
In Tender Mercies, she has a son.
Yeah, she has a son, yeah. But Duvall has the daughter. Ellen
right.
Barkin.
Yes, but it's the
right,
same
but,
idea.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
it's really kind of the same movie, but they're still incredibly. This movie is just really great to watch. It's
breezy.
We were saying, yeah,
it's...
Jeff Bridges is so real in it, and Maggie Gyllenhaal too. They're both
right.
terrific together. Although I was saying to you off the air that I couldn't figure out why she would be attracted to him.
Right, and I spoke with a female film friend, Laura from Chicago, who's also. Hot, crazy hot for Jeff Bridges, and she had trouble with that as well.
Yeah.
I think maybe if he was a little thinner, and because I think two of the people that were the inspiration Bridges said for his character were Chris Christopherson and Waylon Jennings. That kind of, as soon as you hear that, you're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Total sense.
All the time. But yeah, this is a guy who, you know, throws up during performance and, you know, he's playing bowling alleys. And I mean, it captures this kind of, it's not the state fair. It's not even close to state fair material. So, I mean, bowling alleys and, you know, not helping the backup band and shagging whatever, you know, Oklahoma, New Mexico lady is there.
It reminds me of the theater, too. I mean, it's a, you know, that's one thing I really loved about it. You can, you know, I've played all kinds of little theaters all over the place like that where you're not making any money and it's. And but it was just a really terrific movie. And the throwing up scenes, I really liked because they really showed how sick and horrible he
and,
felt
and weeping.
Yeah,
and who weeping. hasn't cried after vomiting?
After vomiting, especially after from a hangover. You know? And I just thought that was really good because it showed the agony that he was in. So that when he finally calls Robert Duvall's character and says, "I want to get sober," you really feel that. You know?
And this is a film I also compare it to The Wrestler, which was my favorite film from last year.
I've not seen that. I'm a little freaked out by what's his
Mickey
name?
Rourke.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke.
The roided up Sammy Hagar.
Yeah,
that's kind of
little...
no, he's amazing at it. But
his plastic surgery.
But it is a kind of a capturing that world so well.
Okay.
And like The Wrestler, I think the problem I guess I have with, and it's not really a major problem because I still enjoy the film. And we talked about with An Education is you're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
Without giving much away, there's scenes where Jeff Bridges' character bonds with Maggie Gyllenhaal's son. You know something bad's
going to happen.
Something bad
you
of some it. Degree, and I don't want to give it, but something's going to, shoe's going to drop, and it's just going to be a mess.
Right. But, you know, that didn't, I felt the same way, and I thought, oh, this is too obvious, but they handle it so truthfully that you can feel it and not think, oh, I saw this
And it's a
coming.
Little, and it, from a dad standpoint, it's scary.
It's
really scary, and then,
And it's funny because when she's right from the beginning, when he said, "Well, why don't you let him stay with me or whatever?" I thought, "Oh, bad move."
So, I highly recommend this. This is what I think. Hold on. The other thing I really enjoyed about it, and by the way, get the soundtrack. It's a lot of fun. But there's a minor subplot involving Colin Farrell, who, by the way, it's nice seeing him do good work again.
But he's not in it very much.
No,
that
he's not. He's not.
Me,
I mean,
right,
he's
terrific.
He's not. I don't think he's credited per se, but he plays a former mentor of Bridges,
a protege,
I should say, who's become, of course, huge. Fill in the name of favorite pop country star here with the two-tone hair and you know the type with
corporate
the long...
country
right and there's a scene where Bridges' character gets to open for him, and this could have been done so one-dimensional, and Farrell's character could have been a complete Deutsche Bank, and well, that's that means something else, and he's not, and the way they handle it, and so because the scene where Bridges is performing his song and Colin Farrell's character sneaks up on stage and does it. If he was a bastard, that would have been just devastating. But it was actually kind of cool the way it happened. And that duet is in the soundtrack as well.
And when Bridges agrees to do that gig on the phone with his manager, who he's yelling at all the time.
Yes.
I really like that scene because finally he just says, yes, I'll do it, because he needs the money. And I thought, well, of course he's going to do it. He's not going to turn it down. I mean, that would be kind of the cliched choice.
There's pride. Well, pride doesn't pay the bills
and get
you New Mexico women.
That's right.
And cheap whiskey. So, but yeah, go rent it. Go see it. Please. And, you know, in my world, this film would have made the Avatar money, but this is why I'm not allowed at management meetings.
That's it.
Okay, also on DVD this week, a film that had, I think, two nominations and was a possible contender for the Oscars and didn't quite live up to that. But it's the latest film from Peter Jackson, The Lovely Bones. And there's no monkey and there's no Frodo. There's just a dead teenage girl.
He's cute. Does he like you as much as you like him?
Grandma, would you please just drop it? Hey, Mom! Look at me! Smile!
My name is Salmon. Like the fish.
Okay, shipmate, take it away.
First name, Susie.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Susie.
You are beautiful, Susie Salmon.
I was 14 years old when I was murdered.
You're the Salmon girl, right?
On December 6th, 1973.
We
We didn't find her, Mrs. Seven. I'm very sorry.
Dad, she's dead, isn't she? You miss her, don't you?
She's gone.
What if she isn't? What if she's still here?
Grandma. Susie's in the in-between.
I wasn't gone. I was alive in my own perfect world. But in my heart, I knew it wasn't perfect. My murderer still haunted me.
Gentlemen, Len.
Susie would never go off with a stranger. It had to be someone she knew.
I have a name for you.
This is police work. This is what we do.
My father had the pieces, but he couldn't make them fit.
You're a tomb in the middle of your house.
I waited for justice, but justice did not come.
You're a Seven girl, right?
Dad!
There's definitely something wrong with this guy.
Why won't you listen to him?
Because you need evidence. You need proof.
Now, the film earned an Academy Award nomination for Stanley Tucci. And Robert Neal, you posed a very, very good question about this. I know you have not seen the film, but you posed a good question, and I'd like you to ask it.
Which is, why would people want to spend time with this
yes,
freak,
yes.
This child molester murderer? Why? That's my whole thing. Maybe it's my age, the fact I have children. I just don't want to spend time or money on trying to figure out the psyche of these people.
Right.
I just have no interest in that whatsoever. Now, I told you before, there was an interesting interview I heard on Fresh Air, actually, I think, with...
Here on WFYI.
Exactly. with Stanley Tucci, who's a terrific actor. I really love him. Big Night is one of my...
Love
that movie.
Big Night.
You gave me that DVD.
Yes. One of the finest Italian restaurant films. And I still think he should have been... I know. Timpani, anyone?
Yeah.
I still think he should have been nominated for Julie and Julia because that
was
a great cinematic spouse. That's a first ballot cinematic spouse Hall of Fame.
Exactly. But we digress.
But yeah, I guess creepy guy.
And he was saying the same thing when he got the script. He didn't think he could do it. He has no interest in this kind of thing. And so I haven't seen it, so I can't talk about the film. I'm just saying that I just don't like spending time with that kind of subject matter.
I know people. I mean, my wife, you know, it's kind of the same way with, you know, criminal films, gangster, you know, your kind of pulp
River,
fiction.
I couldn't see that either.
Oh, my thing. Goodness. Remind me.
Pillow Man, the play, I couldn't see that. No,
about Emma was, let me think, 2. And within a span of a week, not only did I see Mystic River, but I also saw 13.
I don't know that.
That's Evan Rachel Wood, Holly Hunter. Don't watch it if you have daughters.
I can't.
And the thing is, I love Mystic River. I thought that was the best film of the year. Screw Lord of the Rings. Yeah, but that moment is absolutely gut-wrenching.
I wouldn't be able to go on and watch the rest of it. I'd be happy.
You know what? It also helps that I'm not a Boston gangster, but you know, and I'm not Sean Penn. But no, you're right. There are some people. I know somebody, a dear friend, who's a film critic, and the wife, and he, not real crazy about Children in Peril. So
yeah.
Just we have our own. But, you know, I'm the film critic here, so I have a cross to bear.
Now,
this is a frustrating film because I know it's based on a very popular novel, and Peter Jackson is directing it. And it's kind of half, you know, how a family deals with the missing/dead daughter.
Who wants to see that?
And the parents are Rachel Weisz and Mark Wahlberg. Interesting. And
Mark Wahlberg.
The grandmother is Susan Sarandon. Who, as somebody once said, looks like she's showed up for her Auntie Mame audition. And the other half is the girl, which I wish I could pronounce her name, but we call her the Atonement Girl, in this kind of weird Technicolor, what dreams may come looking cotton candy afterlife. And I think if they had a little less of the afterlife and maybe a little more with the grieving, because we all need more grieving.
Oh, don't we?
No. And of course, dipping into the mind of the Stanley Tucci character on how meticulous he is.
Yeah.
It's a frustrating film as far as tone, shifting from one tone to another to another. And I'm sure the film's or the book is a fascinating read. I know a lot more happened to the girl in the read than it was in the film.
I don't want
to
know that. I'm sorry.
However, and I have not watched it on Blu-ray. It is also on Blu-ray. And there's something that intrigues me if I have time or if you have time. This is Peter Jackson. But apparently there is a three-hour documentary that is a video diary of every day of the shoot of this film. And it may or may not tell you what went right and what went wrong with this film. Because there were really big expectations for this film because it's Peter Jackson, and it didn't quite live up to snuff.
Well, because it doesn't have, you know, elves in it and that sort of thing.
Well, no, King Kong didn't have any elves in it either. Didn't have Naomi Watts in a slip.
That's
but
it.
Anyway, here's...
I think it's overrated.
I will never forget the press screening for this. We did four films in 2 days, and this is what these are the four films we saw on a Thursday. We watched Lovely Bones and then Up in the Air.
Oh.
And then the next day, the next day was A Single Man and Nine, the musical.
Oh.
Thank God they didn't reverse those. I would just walk out and want to, you know, open a vein.
Exactly.
Going from that to... So anyway, that's also in theaters, or also on DVD, I should say, with a really, really wonderful performance, and hopefully more people will check it out, is The Young Victoria, which was... This was supposed to be the Academy Award nomination for Emily Blunt, but it didn't happen, but it's still a good performance.
She's
anyway.
Really terrific.
She is really
good in
general.
You know, the
thing
general. Is, when I sat down to watch it and I saw the cover of the DVD, and I didn't know much about the film or her, or really anybody in it except for Jim Broadbent. Who I love. And, you know,
Miranda Richardson's in it, Paul Bettany, lucky Mr. Jennifer Connelly.
Right. But I thought, oh, she's too beautiful to play. You know what I mean?
We have this Judi Dench image of Queen Victoria.
But I went back after I watched it.
She was Babe?
I looked, well, she's not,
not
Emily
Babel,
Blunt.
Not Emily Blunt. But,
I mean, in those paintings of her when she was younger, she was a very attractive woman. I mean, and we all think of her in the late years when, you know.
She's 400.
My God, yeah. It's, you know,
rules with an iron fist,
yeah,
and all
and,
that.
Yeah, you know, and that's why we think of Victorian era as being so, you know, straight-laced.
So
if
Kate Blanchett
unsexual.
Can be Queen Elizabeth, then we can have
that's
this.
Right,
so
that's right.
Here's the trailer.
I must have been 11 or thereabouts when I learned that I was nearer to the crown than I had thought.
Her Royal Highness Princess Victoria of Kent.
My dearest niece. How come you've grown up so well? I wasn't looking.
From now on, everyone will push you and pull you for their own advantage.
The Viscount Melbourne.
Should you ever need an ally, you have one in me.
I pray for the strength to meet my destiny.
Prince Albert.
Do you ever feel like a chess piece in a game being played against your will?
Do you?
Constantly.
Get out of my way!
But sometimes I feel quite alone in the world.
Never while I am here, Your Majesty.
You had better master the rules of the game until you play it better than they can.
You don't recommend I find a husband to play it for me?
I should find one to play it with you, not for you.
I am young, but I am willing to learn. And I mean to devote my life to the service of my country.
You're out of your depth.
It would make me happier than anything if you'd
marry you.
Marry me.
You are my whole existence. I will love you until my last breath.
If I remember right, it's the same writer as Gosford Park, and it has that kind of behind the scenes. It's not upstairs, downstairs. It's not a master. It's not stuffy masterpiece theater. And I think that's another thing that will turn the mall crowd off.
Right. Well, and I was saying it when I first saw it or first saw that I was going to watch it and saw the box of it and everything, I thought, well, this looks like it's going to be a Harlequin romance version of Victoria's life. But it wasn't at all. It was historically accurate as far as I can tell from what I've read of that period. And I thought all the attention to the detail of the pomp and circumstance of the of that era was really terrific. And
everything, the ridiculous things of you can't walk down the stairs alone.
Yeah.
And she was not, you know, they didn't want her to make any decisions.
Yeah. And, you know, in this genre of films like, you know, Mary Queen of Scots or The Queen, you know, movies that are about this subject matter, you know, I'm really particular about that. They have to look right. They have to feel right. And this one did. I thought it was really good.
It's pretty cool. And you can still find old castles in Europe to shoot movies.
Absolutely.
And I bet some of them are just for that, to shoot movies.
That's why they don't tear them down.
No, exactly. So kudos to Emily Blunt and the rest of the cast. It's a really cool backstage costume drama.
Yeah, it's really good. And you really feel for them as people. I really like that part of it, too.
Indeed.
Yes. And
finally on DVD, yes, I'm saving this for last because it's my show, but it came out, and it's so special, it didn't come out on Tuesday, it came out on Thursday, Avatar, Dances with Smurfs. Glad it didn't win Best Picture.
I didn't see it.
It's visually impressive. Story, like I said, it's Dances with Smurfs. And by the way, folks, if you're a film dork, don't buy it. There are no special features.
Yeah, what is that? I've seen that
lately.
That's
how they get you. Video stores now, a lot of them, some of the studios are not carrying special features at all if you still go to certain chain video stores, because if you want to see those, they want you to buy them because sales are down.
I recently saw The Blind Side, and there were no special features at all on it.
Nope,
what's that all about?
They want you to.
Well, and my daughter, who loves Harry Potter, has seen those and read those books 100 times.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, she said that there's all these DVDs coming out now with special features about all the films.
Uh huh. And you know, and Blu-ray, there's even more. And I finally got a Blu-ray for Christmas, and. But yeah, and I'm one of those guys. If I'm going to plunk down $30 for a disc, I'm going to watch every morsel of it and get
my
money's worth.
Right.
It may take me a few days, but I'll get through it. And
so now, what you're saying about Avatar is that the special effects are terrific, but there's
it's weak story.
Weak story. Well,
weak
isn't
story.
That the James Cameron? You know,
business as usual, I guess, for Mr. Cameron.
Because I haven't seen Avatar, but I did see Titanic, and it was exactly the same
thing. Disaster
movie
with a slightly better script, but not really.
Well,
the only thing missing were the little squares at the bottom. You know, so-and-so is the captain, and so-and-so
exactly.
The old disaster movie. So here.
I think it's overrated.
Yeah, that's...
You
know, and I
love your little rating things.
They're sort of ratings, but
they're just opinions.
Exactly. Well, that's what this show is about. And by the way, because Avatar's out, it's one more chance for me to say I think it's right about this time that James Cameron dumps his old wife and marries Uhura.
Marries a new one. Yeah, Uhura.
He's filmmaking Rod Stewart is what he's doing. But you know, I'm happy for Hurt Locker and Catherine Bigelow. By the way, Catherine Bigelow, stunning.
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna take a short break, and we're gonna talk with a little bit of business with Robert Neal, and we need to salute one of the finest crafts people in the movie business from the 60s and 70s that died recently. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. We'll be right back.
I've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Wait a minute. That's the short version. I was going to play you the long version of the guest intro. Hold on. Let's try it again.
Oh, Roger! We're not alone.
We've got guests.
You've got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Welcome, Robert Neal.
Thank you. I have both of those.
I'm sure you do. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Three Musketeers opens tonight at Mud Creek Players, 9740 East 86th Street. Go to mudcreekplayers.org for reservations. It runs tonight, tomorrow night, next weekend. There's a Sunday matinee on the 2nd, and then the 7th and the 8th. So shameless plugs. That's all right. Robert Neal, fresh from Becky's new car. We've been pledging all day. And by the way, I got to see that closing night. And it's so good to see you in a comedy.
It was fun. Yeah, everybody thinks so I'm good. Just this big freak guy who's scary.
You're not a
freak. I know, but I'm like Sasquatch is on the stage. What happened? I can be funny. I was always stunned. People are going, hey, you can be funny. I'm funny all the time.
Well, and by the way, in our house, you're still known as King Hubby.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
My wife, Claudius.
There's
and Gertrude.
There's a funny character. He
Claudius?
Is hysterical.
He could be if you're in a different production. So, as I said, there are Oscar-winning. I've had F. Murray Abraham. I've had Peter Bogdanovich. They were easier to get on than you. I'm in rehearsal. No, I can't
have
do this.
Have you really had them on here?
Yes.
Get out of here.
Go listen online at WFYI.org. I'll tell you the stories later.
Okay.
So, yeah, absolutely. So, Becky's new car is done, and you're getting ready to do Shakespeare again outside.
Correct. We're with the Heartland Actors Repertory Theater down by the riverside. Down by the river in a van down by the river.
I thought you were also going to start doing Inherit the Wind.
No, it's Two Gentlemen of Verona.
And that's a play that's not. I think if you named five Shakespeare plays, heck, ten, that might. Maybe hit
you know,
9 or 10,
and
that's
Michael
about
Shelton,
it.
Who's the artistic director who will be directing this production, that's one of his things. He likes to bring those plays that people maybe don't know as well for people to come see. And they started out with Merchant of Venice 2 summers ago, and last year we did Much Ado About Nothing, which is a bit more popular. And so it's just a great event in the city.
Now, is he still – I know he didn't make a deal with the devil, but I know he made a deal with Mother Nature to get really good weather because that's been one of the best outdoor theatrical experiences.
Here's what's amazing is I was not around for Merchant of Venice. They only did one performance. And last summer we did two performances of Much Ado About Nothing. The first night was about the most gorgeous night of the entire summer.
I agree.
Were you there that night?
Yes. Emma and I were.
Okay.
Both of us.
And then the second night, it rained, but all the people stayed, or most of them. I mean, we had as big
great
a house.
Sign.
It was amazing. Yeah, there's a real hunger for that kind of thing in this city, and I hope it continues to grow.
And you were a man of few words, but we thank you.
We thank you. I am, yeah.
Well, you know how it's. We know it's a good event, arts event in Indianapolis?
Oh.
Ballard wasn't there.
Oh,
Robert Neal's not agreeing with my comments.
No, that's just, you know, he's not here to defend himself.
Anyway,
yeah.
It's been fun having you on stage and yes, you are funny because we talk. I mean, we talked all day,
I've been funny in plays before, and no one seems to remember.
That's the price you pay for being so darn tall.
That's
you and Fred Quinn.
He was funny as Fred Munster. I could play Fred Munster.
If we'll call Janet Allen
that's
and tell
it,
her
yeah.
to stage the Munsters.
Well, they're doing the Addams Family now. Why not do
that? Ooh.
I know. Scary.
I love the concept of B.B. Neuwirth as Morticia.
Yeah.
But I read the review in the New York Times. So
I read about it in the New Yorker.
We'll see.
Scary.
We will see. Now, I do have to give Robert credit because I think it was 2 years ago. You're also, I think, will make you Film Sociology's official Orson Welles correspondent,
thank
historian.
Yeah, I loaned you all that stuff.
That's right. I got to host the screening of Citizen Kane at IUPUI, and I still needed to go because I didn't have a copy of Magnificent Ambersons. You had a copy.
Yeah.
We're still waiting for the definitive copy, which probably will never happen.
No.
But it was fun watching some of his other work in preparation for this, and so I thank you for the interviews.
Oh, you're welcome. And Orson Welles freak, and Orson.
How'd you become an Orson Welles freak?
I don't know. Just like you become a freak about anything. You see something and you really, really like it. I don't even know. It must have been Citizen Kane when I was a kid, and I thought Rosebud. That's fascinating. But in my love for Shakespeare and his love for Shakespeare. I mean, I think that's how I got the hook in there. So
how I got to Bogdanovich was he was here to talk about Touch of Evil.
Oh, yeah.
At the IMA.
Well, he was a really good friend and a kind of a – he wrote or –
he has
like
some great – if you get a chance, read these books. These are great conversations books
with Orson Welles.
Orson Welles, Alfred Hitchcock, John Ford, all these – Billy Wilder, I believe. Really cool conversations.
And he was sort of a – I don't know if you'd call him a protege of Orson Welles. He was really close to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows a lot of the inside stories.
Well, apparently Welles lived with him for a while.
Yeah, he did.
With him and Sybil.
Sybil
There's
Shepherd.
A sitcom.
Yeah, no
Ooh.
Kidding. Yeah.
I did thank Bogdanovich personally for All Men Everywhere for the diving board scene from The Last Picture Show.
It was a terrific scene. I did enjoy that scene very, very much.
I'm sure he if you're going to be Stanley Kubrick with one moment, you could do 160 takes of that.
Well, that's probably why he left his wife. Well, because that was when they met during the filming of that film. That scene alone was probably enough.
And I need – I actually have – I should find – yes, I have Peter Bogdanovich's phone number because I recently watched –
Can I have it?
No. I recently watched They All Laugh, which, of course, was Dorothy Stratton's last film. And that's a whole other
– Wow. Star 80. That's a good movie.
I love Star 80. Yeah. Amazing performance by Eric Roberts.
It's terrific. But going back to Bogdanovich, one of the great films, I think, is Last Picture Show.
That's a great –
And, you know, Orson Welles wanted to play –
Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson's part.
Really?
Sam the Lion.
Wow.
And he wouldn't have been right for that. Sam Johnson was
no.
Great.
I mean, Ben Johnson deserved the award
Sam
as a Cloris
Lion,
Leachman. You know what? I found this MGM Film Noir. Have you seen The Stranger?
Oh, yeah.
With Edward G. Robinson
That's
and Orson Welles.
Movie.
It's really, really good. Yeah. And it's one of those, you know, I know all the studios are kind of pulling out their old titles, and I saw this. I'm like, I've heard of this, but I've never seen it. And
movie.
I watched it. It's so
it's
good.
It's really terrific.
His use of shadows, his use of color, of lights, you know, so many different shades of gray.
Yeah.
So that's another one. You hit people in the back of the head if they don't like black and white films. I'm like, they're gray films. What's the matter with you?
I know. I love black and white.
So you also saw, you're also one up on me. Yes, there are people who see movies that I don't. I have very peculiar tastes.
I give off
this aura that I've seen everything and I haven't. But you saw me and Orson Welles, the Richard Linklater film, which was also the first non-bubblegum movie with Zac Efron.
Yeah, I hate to be a critic.
That's
my
job.
I don't mean to be a critic, right? But I was telling you before, but the thing I loved about the film was the guy who played Orson Welles is amazing. I mean, you really feel like you're watching the man after a certain point. That the whole subplot with that Zac Efron and
Claire Danes,
I could have done without. And it wasn't necessarily their fault. It was part of the story. But watching, who's the actor that played Orson Welles?
English guy.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
That guy.
So. But he was really great. And the scenes that recreate that Julius Caesar production, the famous fascist 1930s.
Not
Julius
Nazi
Caesar.
Germany. No.
No, yeah.
No, of course not.
It was great. And I said before, my wife leaned over to me and we were watching. She said, you know, I'm just amazed how modern that production looks. I'm like, yeah, because he was in the vanguard of doing Shakespeare in modern dress, and it was cut to like 90 minutes or something like that. But,
you can get occasionally upstairs at IRT.
Occasionally. But it was a really interesting, especially if you love the theater. There's a lot of backstage theater stuff that goes on in that film. And if you love Orson Welles, it's just really great. In fact, I've just been reading at night. It's on my bedstand when I'm can't sleep, Simon Callow's first volume of The Road to Xanadu.
Very cool.
And it's really terrific.
And this guy's better than Angus McFadden from when he did Welles in Cradle Will Rock?
I think he is. That's a great movie, too, by the way.
Yes.
Everything's great, yeah. But that is a really good, that's a Tim Robbins film, right?
No, Tim. You're right.
It is.
You're right. He did direct that. That's right.
And it's a really interesting movie, especially if you know the history of that time during the theater. It's a really terrific movie.
How are you about Shakespeare in film?
Oh, since you ask. Yeah.
That's why I
asked. I have a pretty strong opinion about that. Okay, here's my theory.
Okay.
it's not my theory necessarily, but
it's a theory.
It is a theory. Shakespeare is all about words. Film is about imagery.
Okay.
To me, the best ones that I have seen would be Kenneth Branagh, because I think he marries the language with the visuals as well as anybody does. I mean, you can look at Orson Welles' Othello. That's amazingly brilliant.
And his Macbeth, which if you can find them.
Oh, I hate that one.
You didn't like that one? No?
No.
Okay, all right.
Chimes at Midnight, which is the Henry IV's put smashed
right.
together, which is terrific. I think Kenneth Branagh for my money, because it's, you know, you've got to maintain the integrity of the language. That's what drives the whole thing. For example, Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet.
Baz Luhrmann. Well, that's kind of R&J 101.
I've never been able to watch the whole thing. I just couldn't get through it.
I remember Lynn and I were seeing, we saw that film. We were the oldest ones in the theater by a good, you know, 20 years.
Right.
And that was one of those, I'm like, okay, if it gets your butts in the seats and makes you interested in Shakespeare,
okay,
then
yes,
so,
but. They're not getting the true experience, and I think the true experience is even more exciting.
Well, sure.
So you get if you marry, you know, that updating, but keep the integrity of the language. It was so dispersed, and I didn't think the acting was particularly good either. You have to have the language. And, you know, Branagh did the complete Hamlet.
That was
4 hours.
That was a pretty gutsy movie.
It was.
And there was a period I remember after watching that where. I went on a high of, you know, they should film every Shakespeare play in their entirety. No, not really.
Right.
That's okay.
To me, you know, and like Much Ado About Nothing, which I always said that was like a shirts and skins basketball game between the British and the American actors. And the American actors, you know, got their butts kicked because, Keanu Reeves.
But also, it's one of those, I'm like, how can you turn that down? You get a phone call saying, hey, we're going to do
exactly.
Shakespeare in Italy
yeah.
with Kenneth Branagh.
I love that movie.
You're going to wear white cotton and eat fruit and cheese. And I mean,
Emma Thompson
asked,
is
they,
so beautiful
yeah,
in
if
that.
If they asked me to do it, I would have done it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Actually, I think it's a really good movie in spite of some of the not-so-great acting by some of the people. But
his versions of – so then what did you think of his version of Love, Labor's Lost? Musical.
I haven't seen that one.
I'll add it
I
to your
to see it.
Netflix
I know,
account. So there's – there's yeah so it's he's run the gamut from As You Like It and Henry V
yeah.
and Hamlet.
Henry V was terrific. Yeah.
Loved Henry V, and that was, you know, that's when he had the next Olivier thing lingering
yeah,
over his head.
Because he was 28, the same
yeah
age,
not bad.
You know, right.
Think
know,
about what you do when you were 28.
Yeah, you know, but for my money, the best Shakespeare on film is still Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet.
Wow.
And I watched
where they're
that.
Actually closer to age as opposed to Leslie Howard.
I watched that not long ago, actually before we did Romeo and Juliet here at the IRT, and I was still blown away by it, moved
wow.
by it. It's the best fight scene ever when Tybalt kills Mercutio and then Romeo turns around and kills Tybalt. It's the best I've ever seen on film.
There you go. And I have to say this before we wrap things up, Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, second hottest Gertrude ever.
Julie Christie.
Zardoz has spoken.
And that dedicate the hottest Gertrude to my wife. So, Robert Neal, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
My
good
pleasure.
To have you back. We'll have you back soon.
Great, this is fun.
Maybe after Shakespeare. So, Three Musketeers at Mud Creek Players, mudcreekplayers.org, and you know. Do a search. Maybe there is robertneal.com. I don't know if he's done that yet.
No,
we've got to work
no.
on that. So until next time, go see a good movie. Go see one of the movies we talked about. Most of them.
Go
you deserve it.
Red Man on Wire.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.